I love it. I love it. Okay, awesome. We were talking about, Brenny, you were telling me about the show that you were watching, the 5150s who got caught for killing somebody. So what were you watching?
Oh, no,
what have you been watching? Tell me about it.
No, it was called Why Did You Kill Me? And it was it's a documentary. Basically, it's about this family in Riverside. This girl, their daughter, the woman's daughter, gets killed. She's like 24. She gets killed. She is shot in her car with her. She's with her brother, and a bullet goes through and hits her in the back of the head. And they don't know who did it. They don't know why it happened. And you know, they figure out that it's gang related. And so the mom and the niece create a Facebook account. I mean, MySpace. They create a MySpace account, and the niece gets close online with all these guys on MySpace. These like all these gang members that are you know, members of this gang, and they basically solve the murder through using MySpace and pretending to be other people. It's really crazy. It's like the ultimate catfish.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Well, I mean, that's awesome that they pretty much sleuthed them and found the right people and got the information they needed to, or evidence that they needed to bring some people to justice. So that's amazing and crazy and good.
Yeah, it's crazy. The mom was like, I'm going to kill them. Like, she tried to set up them up, and she was like, I'm having a party at this place at this time on this day, you know, come. And she was like, I was going to kill them. She was just going to shoot them as they rolled up. I was like, it's probably the dumbest idea I've ever heard.
Damn.
But, I mean, it didn't happen. she was, like, planning a murder. It was real weird.
So, this week we have some guests. Guests, what have you guys been watching this week?
A lot. But we recently just watched, me for the first time, the 1995 Mortal Kombat. And that's all I can think about.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, yes.
I think
the karate wasn't top notch back then, but it's all right. It does good.
It was the acting that wasn't top notch.
But I think back then we were all hyped for it.
Yeah.
Watching back, it's
totally.
But watching it back, you sort of feel like they tried to pay as close attention to what the game was. Those that vibe that you could get. At least the director took that note. I'm going to make this exactly how the game is. And credit to him.
Yeah. I mean, Goro obviously was a claymation beast. So, yeah. No.
He didn't look as bad as I thought he would. Like, there was a lot of terrible CG. But then you also accept that that's what it was back at the time. But I thought Goro looked better than I thought he would.
It wasn't too bad. And then Sonya, I was just like, Sonya. I felt like Sonya could have been tougher. She tried to be tough, but, you know, it's like, all right.
That actress always plays, like, she's at...
She always has, like, resting bitch face.
I Know What You Did Last Summer. She was Buffy's sister.
Oh,
she got murdered, so.
Yeah.
I kind of like Sonya. Because sometimes, whether it's a male or a female writing for a female character, they can get very preachy. But I thought Sonya was quite good. She wasn't like, I can handle my own because I'm a woman and I've looked after myself this whole time, which a lot of now female characters can get, right?
Her obsession with Kano was a little bit much, I think.
Because he killed her partner, right?
Yeah, and then... Now that I think back on the movie, I'm like,
let's just watch it again for shits and giggles.
They could have done so much more, but whatever.
Watch it again and then you'll appreciate it.
Are you looking forward to the one coming out next week?
Not really.
I didn't know.
Oh, Brandy!
Coming out next week. What? Brandy's a hater. What? Tell me more. Give me more information.
No, it's releasing on HBO Max.
But first, can we introduce you guys? I'm sorry, that was so rude of me. I didn't mean to cut you off. But obviously, we have a guest. Obviously, there's a podcast happening here, and we would like to introduce our two guests, KT and OT, from For Your Reference podcast. You guys, introduce yourselves.
I'm Katie Liu Kang. How are you guys going?
Yes.
And I'm Oti.
He loves my bicycle kicks. What can I say?
Oh, yes. In the sand, getting kicked up in the face and stuff and doing cartwheels on the beach.
We also want to say thank you so much for having us officially on the podcast. I do love the shout outs that we get on your podcast, and it's nice to officially be on the pod feed. Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. I feel like you're always on my tongue. So
you too.
It's like, I'm always, I don't know you.
Well, now that our minds have turned completely to garbage, let's not get too dirty today.
You hear that, OT? Pay attention, OT. Behave.
Behave yourself. But yes, we love you guys. You guys are also like our first patrons, and we were on your podcast last year. Maybe it's been 2 years ago. We're old now. Oh my gosh. But, you guys are officially guests on our podcast. We didn't really do guests before, and we started doing them this year. And I was like, you guys have to join us, because this was around the time 2 years ago that our paths crossed with our, Game of Thrones episode.
Yeah.
And I was just like, hey, you're like, hey, and we're like, hey.
We found the common enemy in Bran.
Yes, 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 yes. Oh, man. I have to watch that again. I don't know. I enjoyed the series, you know, watching it, Game of Thrones. And I thought I'd watch it again because I feel like I probably watched it twice.
It's like 80 episodes. That is a whole time-sucking exercise. Yeah.
Of at least 45 minutes.
Yeah, after I finished, I think I was like, yeah, I'm done. I'm happy that it's finished. And it's just moved to the back of my mind now.
Right? Okay. Go ahead and catalog that.
Well, there's prequels coming out soon. So
prequel. Oh, ooh, okay. What, how do you feel about that?
I think enough time has passed. So I think I'll enjoy it, hopefully.
Okay. And what's this Mortal Kombat movie that's coming out? You still didn't tell me. Sorry about that. Tell me.
No, it's coming out of HBO Max, I think, next week. And I'm eager and I'm excited. It seems like they've put a lot of budget in it.
Yeah.
So you've got your Scorpion and Sub-Zero looking really slick and nice, and who doesn't love that?
Yeah, absolutely. Very excited.
I'm for it. The technology that's around nowadays and the movies and the quality, it's just good. But in about 10 years, people are going to look back and be like, oh, that was garbage. You know, just how things evolve. So I'll tell you guys what I watched this week, but I've been watching Invincible.
Nice.
And are you guys watching Invincible on Amazon Prime?
We are.
Mm.
We are.
Oh my gosh. I listened to a podcast about it, about the series, and I was like, oh, this is interesting. And it's from, what's his name, Robert Kirkman, the director or the creator of The Walking Dead, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, this is crazy. And then to see it on Amazon and to watch it, I'm like, this shit is insane. And like, what's his name? Mr. and Universe. What's his name? Mr.
Omniverse.
What's his name? Yeah, him.
Omni-Man.
Omni-Man? Yeah. Omni-Man. I think it's crazy that he's Tenzin also from The Legend of Korra, and he's also your favorite guy in like the drum movie that you don't like. What's that movie called?
J.K. Daddy Simmons.
Yeah,
yes.
J.K. Simmons. Yeah, that you call him. I love him, but I'm just like, I don't like you as Omni-Man. You're such a dick, but whatever. Anyway, I've been watching that, and it's really good. I have one episode to catch up on.
Yeah, it's a good show. It's a very interesting show. It's coming in the wave of like adult, not necessarily adult content, but like animation that is geared towards adults. But what I don't get is it's gory, but it doesn't match that vulgar sort of language, if you're nasty.
If you're nasty. Yeah, they throw a fuck around here and there. But I think if maybe they got too vulgar, it would maybe get away from the story just to be in your face and gory and also, you know, yelling. Like, I can't even listen to it when my kids are in the room. Huh. You know, I think it might be too much.
Fair enough.
I fell asleep on it.
Anyway, did you?
Twice.
I stayed up all night and watched like 4 episodes and I was like, oh my gosh, this is really good. I liked it.
I fell asleep on it twice.
All right, well, let's get to it. I'm Sunny Hepburn.
And I'm Brandy Fleeks.
And today we have with us
KT
and OT
from For Your Reference. Sorry, we're not as polished.
It's all good because today this is Book
of
Lies. The podcast.
It's bold, bitches.
Yes. Okay, guys, we've made it this far and I'm very excited. If you guys are listening, thank you for listening and thank you for being here with us. And you guys can find us on the internet at bookofliespodcast.com. You can find KT and OT at, is it fyrpodcast.com?
It is, absolutely.
Find them there too. Find all their things. You follow, you subscribe, you come back. Do all of the things. But today, guys, we're here to talk about, you guys came up with the topic. So go ahead and tell us what we're going to talk about today, KT.
We are going to be covering the 2021 documentary Persona, The Dark Truth Behind Personality Tests, which focused specifically on the Myers-Briggs personality test. But it becomes a whole lot more.
Mm-hmm. A whole lot more. And I was pissed. I was watching this. I was like, what? I never even, you know, thought about this. I took a personality test yesterday. I took the test to figure out what I was. Did you guys take the test at all?
Oh, yeah. We've both done it as a part of work.
Mm. Oh.
Did they tell you what you came up as?
Yeah. So even though OT doesn't prescribe, I do remember his. So mine is ISTJ, which I think is called the logistician. And OT's is the INFJ, which is one of the rarest, apparently.
Mm-hmm. That's the rare one. And I'm an INFPT, so I am a turbulent mediator.
Oh.
Yeah.
And hang on. Let me see what I am. Hang on. Brandy sent it to me. And I am a ESFJ, so I am the console or the – I think I'm the caregiver.
You're the only extrovert.
You're the console.
You're the only extrovert on this podcast today.
Yes, I am. Huh. Can you tell?
Introverts assemble.
It's okay. I'm going to make you guys all feel comfortable. I'm going to make sure everybody's having a good time and I'm not going to worry about my looks. So it's going to be okay.
Nice.
So that's what they told me. I was like, you motherfuckers, how do you know these things about me? But it's all right. I didn't know that, you know, I did take a personality test before at work. But I didn't really, you know, think about it that way. I was just like, oh, it's interesting because we want to know, we want to classify ourselves, I feel like.
Mm.
And this test just went so wrong and it's being used in so many wrong ways. And it's crazy. Like, Brandy, tell us, like, who the creators are of the Myers-Briggs tests. You, Catherine?
Yeah, Catherine, I forgot what their last names are, and I didn't write them down, but Isabel Briggs.
It's Briggs Myers.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Isabel Briggs and Catherine Myers, I don't know, whatever. Catherine, you know, in the documentary, they tell us that Catherine was obsessed with her daughter, and that she spent all this time in her daughter's formative years basically, you know, writing down everything she did and all this weirdness, and I just thought that was really weird, and... You need to get a hobby and don't be so obsessed with your child.
But I love her.
That's fucking weird. She called it, what does she call it? Her, oh gosh, I should have written it down. She called it her, like, child think tank something fucking weird shit. I don't know. But I was just like, oh, God. People, these are two people that have, or, well, she, Catherine, had way too much time on her hands. And that's basically what it boiled down to in the beginning.
Mm.
Right. And then her daughter, Isabel, when she got older and didn't, you know, have anything to do, she picked up her mom's, you know, her studies, right? And then she started testing it on her daughter's friends. She started asking them series of questions and developing, you know, the questions and the categories and the this and the that. And aren't these words just like adjectives? I'm not really good with like words.
Yes, but they are adjectives, right? They don't determine anything about you. They don't tell you what you're capable of, what you'd be good at, anything like that. They basically just say, oh, you're this type of personality, maybe.
What did you guys think of the documentary, KT and OT?
I really didn't know that its roots were based off that. You know,
yeah.
I thought there was a lot of scientific research brought into this. Like, when you're taking the personalities and asking of all a series of questions, you think there's some, you know, pseudo-psychotic scientific research behind it rather than just a mom being bored and doing it all from a living room. And I was like, oh, shit, we're using this right now.
Yeah.
To sort of explain or describe how we should work with each other, which I think is probably the better way of using the test rather than trying to pre-screen applicants who are interviewing for a job. And I was like,
yeah,
bloody hell, this is insane.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree. And I think also at the same time, you know, we're like, don't label me. I'm a complex human being. But then we want to prescribe ourselves to star signs and also personality tests, right? Which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you tell me I'm having an Aries day, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Like, that doesn't make
any sense. It means I'm going to burn this bitch down. I'm going to burn it to the ground.
But it's like, I think...
I have Aries days every day.
I think part of the interesting thing about this documentary is because when you were asking us, you know, what would you potentially like to cover when you come onto the podcast, I said it, but then I'm like, I wonder if you would even like want to do it. But then once you watch the documentary, it really goes down avenues that don't make any sense. And like OT was saying, apparently in America, it's being integrated into pre-screening and into job applications, making it even harder. You know, for people to even get into the job market, which is already hard to get into. You know, in Australia, we talk a lot about, you know, when you go to like pubs or bars, they don't necessarily say, I don't want this type of person here, but they'll start to denote, this is what these people usually wear. This is how they usually act. Mm-hmm. And those are the things on the list at the front of the bar to keep you out of there. So it's like personality tested potentially, and it seems like willfully being used to, you know, can just
discriminate
and dismiss. And you know, I guess you could also say America is a lot bigger in population, so it's just a way to, you know, refine the numbers a bit. But also at the same time, it's fucking hard, man. Like, people are really trying to get a job and they're automatically, you know, being dismissed. And I'm sure we'll go into detail into the documentary, but you know, 3 out of 4 of us are introverts, and that's not necessarily what you know, job applicants will go for, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I have taken that test multiple times for during the job application process. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you, I applied to Macy's and I had to take this this test. I applied to Target and I had to take this test.
Wow.
At the time, I didn't realize that that's what it was. I mean, I knew it was like screening for personality things, because it would ask you, you know, I am, you know, generally a happy person. I am more likely to avoid conflict, or I'm more likely to resolve conflict. And, you know, it asks you these questions, and I answered them as I would answer them. And so I'm pretty sure that DQ'd me right there, were my answers. Because it's not like I don't have the experience. But, so it's hard, especially like when you have, you know, 20 years experience doing something, and then all of a sudden this test comes up and now you're like not even getting a call back. It's disheartening, and it's discouraging.
Yeah,
dude, like in the documentary, we were introduced to like our main characters, a fella by the name of Kyle Baum. Mm-hmm. And he tells his story of applying to Kroger, you know, and he said that he was diagnosed bipolar and he's worked in customer service jobs before, like, you know, I guess he worked at Baskin Robbins and maybe other places, but he wanted to work in the pharmacy at Kroger, and he had a friend who was like, hey, bro, you know, apply. I got you in. It's good, but you have to take this personality test. And he gets flagged, I guess red flagged, because he didn't get the position. And he was told that his friend was like, oh, you know, we can't hire you because you were red flagged. So he told him what the reason why he wasn't hired was.
Mm.
And it just crushed him. He was just like, the fuck, you know, like, what does this mean? And it said that he would be most likely to ignore customers because, like you said, Brandy, I'm not outgoing. I'm not happy. I do want to avoid conflict. But he knows that in customer service, you have to deal with people. Unfortunately, you got to talk to motherfuckers. Even though you don't want to, you got to talk to these bitches because customers always right, you know? Well, they think they're right. The customer thinks they're right. And I, like, when I started watching it, I wrote his name down because I was just like, man, that's messed up. I didn't know that this test did that. I didn't know that, you know, this was a thing because, unfortunately, like, with me, when I go to a job, I get a job. I know that doesn't happen to everybody. And I am bubbly. I am, you know, la, 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 in your face. That's just who I am. And I just have a lot of energy, and I'm just a pretty jolly person. But I didn't know that, you know, these tests were saying, oh, you know, hire her because she's going to do this, that, or the other, or she's tailored to this. Because how do they even, you know, create this test for certain jobs? Like that fucking asshole who worked for Unicrew who was like, oh, you know, my jobs, these tests don't discriminate against people. It's just not the right job for them. What the hell does that mean?
They were made for him. That's why. Like, these tests were made to benefit him.
Yeah. He's like, oh, yeah, well, I know that these tests are designed by white middle-aged men like myself. And it's like,
yeah.
Okay, well, if that's the case, bring on some non-white middle-aged men. How about you hire a black woman or an Asian woman or a freaking, I don't know, a South American little person? Who, you know, doesn't have the same fucking qualities that you do, but they are so ingrained and they're so stuck in they like to see themselves. They want to be around people who look and sound like them, and they surround themselves with those types of people, and they don't consider, oh yeah, maybe someone else would like to get a job too. Mm. Maybe.
And you know, we also have the activist Lydia in the documentary. And
I love her.
We talk, like, I think ableism is also, you know, when people talk about the minority and people that get left out of the general conversation, ableism is also swept to the side as well. So it's bringing that other layer into it because it's an algorithm. It's a, you know, binary sort of system that doesn't necessarily care about who you are, the experiences you have. And maybe if you don't want to talk to people when you're at home, it doesn't mean that you can't provide great customer service, right?
Right. Yeah, that's what she was saying. These tests are sexist, racist, classist, and ableist, right?
Yeah.
Because they were created by fucking racists and, like, privileged white people. I'm just saying, like, it is what it is. Like, they don't get... I'm sorry. Let's go back.
Did you just snort?
I did. I'm so upset I snorted.
It happens.
But so this is what we find out. So the documentary uncovers that these personality tests are being used to rule out unwanted candidates.
Undesirables.
They said 50% of the hourly paid jobs use these tests. So half of them, and they're all the freaking, you know, the fast food restaurants, the retail stores, the jobs and the things that people need it's sad when I'm applying for all these jobs and no one calls me back and it's because I answered this test a certain way and you didn't even give me an opportunity. And that's how these people are feeling, like I didn't even have the opportunity. It's sad. It's really sad.
It is, because again, these tests don't actually know what you are capable of. They don't know. I mean, there's tests for psychopathy, but not everybody who tests as a psychopath is actually a psychopath. You know what I'm saying? So we're not going to go around labeling people as psychopaths just because they might have psychopathic tendencies. Like, I can tell you right now, I like have homicidal tendencies, but I'm not actually going to kill anybody.
Mm.
Maybe.
Well, that's good. That's good. Did you guys know this was a multi-billion dollar industry? Like, these companies are making hella bank with these tests.
I want to get your thoughts on this, because there was a disclaimer, I would say like two-thirds into this documentary, where the official Myers-Briggs Association were talking about how they aren't actually, it's like you essentially have like byproducts, right? Whether you're responsible for it or not, there are copycats that spawn off of the original. Even a lot of the other more popular sort of personality tests still have some sort of roots inside of Myers-Briggs, you know, with the introvert, extrovert, whether it's different words, semantics, that sort of thing. But I wanted to get your opinions on the statement that it's not us. So please still use Myers-Briggs. Other people are benefiting off it and discriminating on other people, but we're the holiest and the purest. I just wanted to get your opinions on that.
That's not what we created it for. It's not our fault it's being used the wrong way. Like, y'all are full of shit. Like, come on, this is your test. Your name is associated with it. Mm. And if they really wanted to shut it down and not have people, you know, be able to take this type of test, they could do that. I feel like they could do that.
It's already out there, and they can't, you know, and like he said, they didn't copyright those four letters. Like, you know, so
every company that's doing this,
that's using a test based on Myers-Briggs, can use those four letters regardless of whether or not they're accurate. Like, we took the 16 personalities test, and MBTI test. So, you know, they probably have changed it, maybe watered it down a little bit, maybe, you know, added more definitions or information to the results, but it's out there. And that's the free one, because to take the Myers-Briggs test, you actually have to pay.
Yeah.
Or you have to work for a company that will pay for it for you to take it.
Man, I'm just flummoxed. I feel that, hey, these tests can be out there. That's fine. If we want to go online and take a test for shits and giggles, which we did, that's fine. But the way that it's being used in the hiring process is where it's being used wrongly. And I think that's the point of this documentary that they've released, that there should be some type of policy change or some type of situation where this isn't stopping people. It's just like, I don't want to fucking see you. You know, you're this, you're that, you test this way. Just get out of here. They need to fix that. There's a problem.
Yeah, it's because it doesn't give everyone a fair shot at the same opportunity. Instead, it you know, shows preference for certain types of people, and that's unfair. It sucks, and people are, you know, they're going to always find some way to discriminate against somebody. Always.
Yeah.
That's true. They're discriminating against people that are with mental health problems. Not mental health problems, but mental health issues.
No, yeah, because Kyle was bipolar. And so, and that's the thing. Like, the question actually asks questions that could possibly be related to your mental health.
It's creating a profile.
You know, even your physical health. And that's not okay, because they're not allowed to do that. They're not allowed to ask you if you apply for a job. They're not allowed to ask you, do you have any mental health issues? And you know what's really funny? The police department does this. They will actually send you to the department psychologist to be evaluated before they hire you. And I can understand wanting, you know, the police department to have people who are mentally stable, because you're carrying a gun. Mm. But pushing your groceries, I don't think that should fucking matter.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I think there's definitely still a stigma in regards to bipolar and mental illness. And the fact that Kyle was so forthright with it, and it completely got used against him. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of people are living with depression and bipolar, and they keep it to themselves. But, you know, even Kyle's father, when he was getting interviewed, he said Kyle wasn't that sort of person, you know, and he got penalized for that. So not only did he openly disclose that he has bipolar, also at the same time, the way that he would answer those questions were informing and creating that profile as well. And I don't know if you guys have it in America, but over the last couple of years, not all organizations, and it's not ruled by government, but, you know, most companies are trying to work on like a great place to work. This is amazing. Corporate culture, all of that wankiness, right? But they also talk about mental health days. And they say that they offer it, but if you were ever to ask for it, it becomes a whole like bureaucratic process, right?
No. I remember I got mental health days in like 2007, and they were just like two random free days. I was like, yeah, I need a mental health day. I can't come in today. Bye.
Yeah. Like they, it depends on where you work, but like there's some places where you have to put in writing, you know, that you want your time off request, and you can check a box, mental health day or vacation day or sick day. Well, you can't schedule a sick day, but like, you know, you can call and be like, I need a mental health day. And it's not a big deal because they can't ask you about it. But
yeah, exactly. That's like mental health day.
In toxic work environments, if they're like, well, why do you need a mental health day? Then that's a problem. And that's when you go to HR or call OSHA or somebody and say, hey, this is happening here. Check into it.
Yeah, but you see what I'm saying? Like even the courage to even ask for that is a lot. So you're kind of banking on the fact that they're not going to take that for granted.
I guess so. You do make a very valid point, but I'm sure there are certain companies that are a bunch of dickholes, you know, and just want to be difficult with people. But they do want to make a happy environment. That's something that people do want to focus on. Oh, you know, it's happy, and you know, they're having employees do like surveys to see how happy they are and, you know, what they could do to make it a better environment.
Workplace satisfaction surveys.
Yeah, that stuff. So but what's the point of it? Like, why are we trying to make it happy? You won't even let people in. So what's up?
There's the byline right there.
Questioning.
Yeah, the happiest place to work. If you can get in.
But that kind of brings me to what was that place called? I think it was called Hope. That New York place where they were helping people pass the tests. Hill or something like that.
Mm.
Because it was a lot of people, because with the test, it is classist as well. Some of these questions, it's like, okay, well, what I would never do that, you know, or this, that, the other. Like, they think about it too much and they get in their heads and they don't know how to answer the questions, or they're being too honest. So they have to teach these people to take these tests that are created to keep them out, to kind of keep them ahead of the curve. And I thought that was wonderful, like what they're doing to help these people get these tests done and hopefully be able to feed their family and not do something else wrong. Do you know what I mean? Like the guy who was in prison for like some odd years, he reminded me of my baby daddy. But
yeah, he did remind me of him a lot.
You know, he was in jail for so long. When he went into jail, there wasn't Google, there wasn't the internet, you know, he probably had like AOL or some dial-up shit. And then he's like, I come out and we Googling, you know, and he's like, now I got to take these tests. And he, you know, was having a difficult time finding a job. And, you know, we find out at the end that he was able to get a doorman job. And
he's a superintendent.
Superintendent. Someone got a doorman job. I'm sorry. I didn't want to play him down. My bad. You was a superintendent, bro. No, it's I didn't realize that things like this were happening. So when I was watching it, I don't know. I know that I'm an extrovert and I know that I test well and I know that, you know, I'm quote unquote, you know, hireable or whatever the fuck that means. So to see, you know, that people who are just being honest and, you know, willing to work and want to work don't have that opportunity and they're not even being seen. I think it's fucked up. So.
Hello, everyone. My name is Nicholas Haskins, host of the 5th annual live stream for The Cure. This year, podcast partners and content creators from all over the world will join me from May 19th to the 23rd to try to raise $15,000 for the Cancer Research Institute. Each year, I am reminded time and again of the incredible power and compassion of the indie creators, audiences, and podcasters who set aside their time, energy, and money to make this event a success. I am overwhelmed again this year with an outpouring of support and passion from others who are dedicated to the goal of a future immune to cancer. I wanted to take a moment while you're listening to this show and say thank you. Thank you, and I'm so eternally grateful for you. I like to say together, we can make a difference. And because of you, we have. From the bottom of my heart and from the entire team that makes Livestream for the Cure possible, thank you. To learn more about this year's event, please visit livestreamforthecure.com.
But I think to a lot of us, like, we don't even realize that there are hoops in front of us. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So even when you talk about, you know, that trying to help with the employment in New York, right? Like, even then, people don't even realize that they're already playing a game, or they've mm-hmm. been thrust into a game that they weren't ready to go in. They just want to get employed. They want to go, you know, and right. obviously we're not getting into this today, but there's the whole conversation of, like, you know, people previously incarcerated that need to be rehabilitated, but no one giving them a chance, which obviously is bigger than this topic today. But it's like, there are so many obstacles that you're putting in front of that rehabilitation, which should be something to help, right?
Yeah. They just took the question, because on job applications, they used to have a question on there, have you ever been convicted of a felony? They just passed legislation that they had to remove that question off of job applications because it automatic disqualification, unless it's, you know, like a nursing job or a job in a federally funded facility or something like that. They can't, public companies can't ask that question. So if I'm working at McDonald's and you won't hire me because I've been convicted of a felony and I can't even work for minimum wage, what kind of odds, the odds of me going back and committing a crime are greater now because I can't get a job.
Yeah, because they're supposed to say prison is supposed to be rehabilitation, but then once you get out of prison, then you're completely marked in society as, oh, you've been to prison, then you can't walk here. Yeah, so it's not right. It's not right.
The scarlet letter, you know, they like carry that shit around. And then if you lie on it, they're like, hey, bitch, you lied. I did a background check, felon. Like, what? Would you hire me if I told you?
You wouldn't even interview me. Like, you at least got the interview. And now you have to do the background check, and that's when they DQ you.
And I think a recurring theme that we have with a lot of the subjects in this documentary is, like, it's not set up for people to answer genuinely, because if you're answering genuinely, you're automatically getting culled from the selection. And I just want to go back to the activist Lydia. I don't know if we're going to focus on all the characters, but with Lydia in particular, you know, she was talking about, in the Asian culture, you don't look people in the eye. And that's very similar to Polynesian culture as well. And I would say a lot of cultures around the world are very similar. You don't walk into a room with your chest puffed out, staring people down in the eye. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't? What do you mean?
Well, I do, but it's not because of my color or my gender.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. Like, there's another test that they do now. Well, they don't do it, but it's being developed, and, like, they're testing it, and it's about facial recognition. Yeah. So, you're talking to people, and it actually reads your facial expressions, like that thing that they were doing on the screen when they would show the people, and it would be analyzing their face. That's an actual technology that the people are trying to implement now to read facial expressions, and that is completely messed up because, again, every culture has a different way of using their facial expressions and their tones of voice. And you cannot assume anything by that.
Siri, Google can't even understand what I say. How do you expect them to get facial
recognition? Siri's like, could you repeat that, OT?
Exactly. And I'm supposed to trust these developers to get my facial expressions right?
No, you're totally right. Honestly, like, I'm like an open book on my face. Like, however I'm feeling, like, it's all over my face, you know? So, like, if I had to tell a lie, I don't know if I'm going to avert my eye to the left or the right, but I'm really bad at lying. So I'd be like, okay, yeah, I guess. I don't know. And then I would turn my face up and make all kinds of weird faces. So who knows what would really happen? Like, why do you want to read my face to tell if I'm lying?
It's not just to tell if you're lying. It's like, it's so weird. Like, it's, oh, she's happy. She's smiling, so she's happy. That's not exactly the truth. Your facial expressions don't exactly have to match your emotions. A lot of people just walk around smiling because it's expected of them, especially women. And that whole bullshit about, you know, oh, smile. It's like, I am not your personal fucking entertainment puppet. Like, don't, I'm not going to smile because you want me to. Fuck off.
Yeah.
But anyway, okay, so I... Yeah, Lydia, I loved her. I loved what she, like, she was like, that's like going back to the times when we used to measure people's skulls to tell how intelligent they were. And I'm like, that's exactly right. That is perfectly, she said it perfectly. Because that's what you're doing. You're basically, you're determining somebody's personality, somebody, how somebody will perform in a job based on how they feel that day. That's not how it works.
Yeah.
Okay, because it could be based on the day. Like, I feel like shit today. No, I don't want to smile today. Did you even ask me how I was feeling on this test? Like, that's not even a question. How was your day today? You know, I could say I'm not having a day. Maybe you should go ahead and slight my test a little bit. They just need to get rid of the test. But I'm just saying, you're right. It's based on how you're feeling that very moment in time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I wonder, like, did they say anything in the documentary if they were trying to get this removed, like if there's any policies or procedures or any, you know, actions being taken? I don't think they said anything like that.
I don't think it's possible, though, to be perfectly honest. Like, even with the Myers-Briggs Association, genuinely, truly, they're not really associated with the fact that it's so integrated. Didn't they say most of, like, the big sort of companies are outsourcing this sort of personality testing? So they're just like throwing it off to other companies. And there are three main ones in America that do it. So it's become, like you said, billions of dollars. It's not something that's going to stop. And unfortunately, this is where we see like technology and the use of algorithms being used against people. Not in a Will Smith iRobot scenario, but like just in the sense that it gives employers more distance, so they can, you know, say that they didn't know anything about it. Unfortunately, you didn't make that round, but it creates that extra buffer and it dehumanizes people in a certain way because you're seeing them as numbers and yeah. What, like, it's a probability that they're banking on, right? Because it's not necessarily that you can't do the job, but this person that scored 100% on this test is more likely to be a more successful candidate, right?
Because they're happy all the time, or because they like to talk to people, or because they, you know, are, they think a lot, or they don't think a lot, or, you know, it's just so stupid.
Well, they know how to play the game.
Maybe not hire me, because I've got options, motherfucker, because I'm happy all the time, and I've got options. I'm going somewhere else. You should have hired this other guy who needed this job and is not going anywhere, you know?
Well, like, Merve Emery. So she said she, you know, she took the personality test, and her boss or whoever it was told her, you could be the CEO of this company, and then she quit because she didn't like the job, and she decided to become a writer. Like, yeah, she's the CEO type personality, but she also wants to be a writer, who are mostly introverts. So what the fuck, the test doesn't actually accurately measure anything.
Exactly. It's just to keep certain people out. And I don't know. I guess we just have to just keep singing this same song. Did you guys recognize that woman, Kathy O'Neill, with the blue hair? I feel like I've seen her in something else, like another documentary. I think she was in, like, I don't know. She was in another documentary. I've seen that blue hair before.
Aside from the blue hair.
The Kathy O'Neill, the one, she was like, she had a TED Talk. Like, they showed some clips from her TED Talk and she was talking. But
maybe
I don't
watched
know.
Her TED Talk.
The Social Dilemma, I think she was in.
Yes. Oh, really? Yes. That's what it was. Thank you, OT. Yes. High five, distance, clap. Thank you. Because I was like, I've seen her in something, but yeah, The Social Dilemma. Yes, that's perfect. You saw that, Brandy, didn't you?
Yeah, I saw it.
We saw it too.
That's another fucked up thing that freaking, okay, now our social freaking media is trying to trap us and keep us online all the time. That's why we can't sleep.
Well, yeah, it wants your attention because we're dollar signs to the freaking creators, right? You know, they sell us to advertisers and they want to predict our shit. They're like, they show me people's things all the time. Oh, so-and-so is on this. So-and-so left the message. So yeah. I'm like, I don't care about this person. Like, get this shit out of here. Like, knock it off. I don't care.
And I guess that's part of the interesting thing because, you know, people talk a lot about like streaming or like, oh, I could quit my job because of streaming. Twitch really only shows popular people, you know, on the Discover page. I think on TikTok, they call it the For You page. And, yeah. You know, TikTok is as far as, unless OT has a secret account, we haven't really dabbled in TikTok, but I was reading an article about it and it was talking about how, you know, you need to constantly be on there and streaming live multiple times a day. And if you miss that day, you get pushed out of the place that people can discover you, right? So it really is encouraging creators, content creators, all that sort of thing, into spending as much time there as possible, right?
There was a guy that did a live and all he did, he slept on his live. And of course, he made money on his live. It's so disgusting. TikTok is nasty. It's a freaking popularity contest, as most social media is, but it's a really, really bad platform to be on if your self-worth and your personal value is tied into social media. Don't get on TikTok.
Yeah, no, I never got on TikTok either, guys. I don't think we need that in our lives.
I'm on TikTok, but I, you know, like I'll do like a month of posting videos and then I'll stop for like 6 months.
Yeah, I know. I know how you do social media, Brandy.
she's a social enigma.
Listen, yeah. I just can't. Like, it's exhausting. It's exhausting. Okay? I don't have fucking time. I only have half the volume of blood in my body that I'm supposed to have. I don't have time.
Oh my gosh.
But it really is that it becomes fake. Like, I think... without calling the whole world out. Like, it is. It's like, because you're not posting the days that your face looks busted and,
exactly.
You know, and you're having a really terrible time. It's, you know, you living your best life in a bikini somewhere, right?
No.
And
yeah.
I think that also comes back to this documentary as well, because some people are just there and they're just going to tell you the truth. Like, don't ask people how they're going if you're not ready to accept the fact that they're like, I'm having a terrible time.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's the truth. I mean, there are some, you know, I don't know. I can't. So Merve Emery, the writer, the one who like was doing looking into the testing.
Let's talk about her, please.
Yeah, let's talk about her for a second. So she's going to the archives, the freaking Catherine Isabel fucking Briggs archives or whatever. And she's like, you know, going down rabbit holes and discovering more and more troubling information about Isabel.
Mm.
And I'm like, okay, so, and I was like, the funny thing is when I watched it the first time, because I watched it again today, the first time she watched it, I was like, it's going to be some racist ass shit, ain't it? And it was. I was like, this has something to do with racism. And I called that shit. And I was like, of course. So now it's not even, you know, it's not even inclusive of all of these other characteristics. It's based on white men, middle-aged, middle class or above men. And so it's like, okay, so all of us, the rest of us taking this test need not even apply, basically.
Yeah.
Well, what the Marve found in the library, she found out that Isabel used to write books, and she found her first book. She was like, okay, this is a nice book. Cool, cool, cool. Let me find the second book. She can't find the second book. People were watching her. She had to like dig up a skeleton in the middle of a graveyard and in the middle of the night when there's unicorns. Like, she had to do the most to find this fucking book. She finds the book. I was, you know, kidding about all that other stuff. But she finds the book, and it turns out it's a horror book, a horror novel or something.
No, it's a mystery novel.
It's
called Give Me Death.
Yeah.
And it's about a family, a well-to-do Southern socialite family that moves to New York. You know, they start killing themselves, and it's because they believe that they have one drop of African American blood.
One drop.
One drop. One whole drop.
Nope, not in my bloodline. Nope, nope, nope. Like, right, and then exactly. I'm sure people ate that shit up too. Like, oh my God, it's a nightmare. Get out of here.
Well, she said the book wasn't popular and, you know, it wasn't promoted. And like, I went online and I looked for copies and there's like a copy on eBay that's selling for $500.
Oof.
Ew.
Because the book is so rare.
I was just like, yeah, she's a racist. She's a racist. That's what I was thinking too. I was like, she's a racist. Okay, interesting. So
her granddaughter was upset about that. She was offended by that. She said that she had published some very offensive things and, you know, she didn't agree with it. And that Isabel, if she had known that her, you know, what her studies were going to go toward, basically, you know, people using it to hire people, that she would be against it and she would try to correct it.
Mm-hmm.
We can admit that people we love also have ignorant, terrible, harmful views of other people, though.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
You would hope so.
We could admit that.
Not you specifically. I'm just saying.
No, 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 no.
Yeah, no, she couldn't admit it.
No, no, no. Yeah, no. I guess, like, with the granddaughter, when she said all that stuff, I was thinking, would she really know? But she'd be a millionaire. Like, I don't think she... I don't know if a woman would care. But I guess that's like what their organization's trying to do is just like, hey, you know, we're not a part of that, but it's spawned all these freaking babies and mutations and it's being used all over the place and it's harming a lot of people.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as we're watching the documentary, we're introduced to Kyle's father, Ronald, who happens to be a lawyer and like starts investigating, you know, like this test and that they find out it's a third party. They find out the company and, like, it's just a big old rabbit hole of, you know, where these tests are coming from and if they are, in fact, legal. And I feel like this happened during the recording of the documentary. You know, mm-hmm. We find out that Kyle died by suicide.
Yeah, it happened during the recording of the documentary. That's why it's then in there.
Yeah, I was just
otherwise,
I was
it would have
hurt.
Been a footnote at the end of the movie.
Yeah, I was just really sad. I felt really bad for his family. And, like, when they go to that that race, or maybe it was a 5K for, you know, suicide. Mm. And
walk
families.
To prevent suicide.
Yeah, I was just like, wow. Like, this whole fight and all of this stuff has affected him this way. And this happened. Like, he felt hopeless, you know? Like, I was just, I felt bad. I was really sad. And I was mad at these people who did this to Kyle.
Yeah, it sucks. And like, you know, he said, he asked his dad, how broken am I? And it's like, it's not that you're broken, but the system is broken because the system shouldn't even be considering things like this to hire people. Like, this is a new technology, first of all, that has been used to do this. And before, I remember when Circuit City was still around, I applied for a job at Circuit City and they actually had a written version of the test where you actually had to fill it. It was like 6 pages of questions. And you had to, you know, check the boxes. And I was like, dang, like, I'm going to be here for
too.
An hour.
Yeah, and it's a long test.
Fill out an application.
So that's exhausting. It's like, okay, I gave you 30 minutes of my life to take this test and y'all don't even call me back?
Exactly.
Say anything?
Mm.
Yeah, that was the 90s, you know? So imagine, I mean, now, you know, they have, it's read by computers and it's administered by computers. And then, of course, you know, they talk about the bias that's written into code that, you know, in freaking software. It's like everything has some bullshit to it nowadays.
Yeah. But it's also based off the people who created it. So if the programmers or mm-hmm. douchers and freaking elitists or whatever you want to call them, or, you know, can't relate to different people, different sexes, different genders, different lifestyles, and, you know, different people coming from different areas, you can't even compare. You can't put that into any system. So these systems are gonna discriminate against people. Like, they need to be gone, but they're not. You're right, KT. They make too much money.
Have you noticed any bias in, like, software being in IT?
Yeah, like, there's a lot of, I don't know how to say this, like, you'd get developers who would think one way because that's their whole life and they don't know any better. So whatever it is that they code and whatever biases that they have, that's the output of it. You had Google who, when you run batches of pictures around and they identify black people as monkeys, you know, it's fucking upset.
Yeah,
there was a whole story about it, you know? When you run a picture of a black person, it'll be like fucking monkey and you're there thinking, what the fuck?
Yeah.
So regardless, the foundation is all wrong. It's biased. It's just fucking wrong. And Myers-Briggs, she's a fucking racist. Whatever the daughter or the granddaughter wanted to say, she was racist, and in her tests and how we're using it right now, it's flawed.
There needs to be some onus. There definitely needs to be some onus. Yes. And to not acknowledge the foundation on which the Myers-Briggs test was created is completely missing all of the picture. Right. Mm-hmm. And by the granddaughter trying to protect the image or the sanctity of her lineage is really snuffing out the voices of those that aren't being heard. That's exactly the problem that's happening, and that comes out in this documentary, because I think a lot of the time we have this comfortability about us. Like in general, we're like, oh, that isn't so great, but my day doesn't change. So I'm just going to skip on down my merry way into the horizon. Right. Mm-hmm. And what this documentary is bringing is instances where it's actually willfully harmful. And as bad as systems can be, it's not so much that, it's more that they're binary and they're not being fed with enough information. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, even not necessarily in regards to Supertech, but even with Kodak, you know, there was a whole piece around how the way that they developed disposable cameras and the way that they captured light was based on lighter complexions, and it wasn't right. based on darker skin. And I guess just coming back to our film podcast roots, it's nice to see black creators, black directors being able to shoot beautiful black skin.
Yeah.
Yes.
Brown skin, you know I love your brown skin.
We love NDRE, thank you.
I love it. No, you're totally right. So we can all agree there is a problem. So we need to shut it down, guys. So let's talk about how we're going to go ahead and just burn it all down. It's Aries season, like you said.
That's, I don't even know what that means.
That's not what happened, but okay.
I think my first point of action would be, I'd take a stand. When we do a lot of our personality tests at work currently, and mm-hmm. we do one about every year, just so that we can identify how the hell we have to work with each other and how we prefer how to work. And it's all based off Myers-Briggs. And at the end of it, I'll be like, you know what? I'm not taking this test.
That's, you know, it's really funny. I was thinking that. I was like, you know what? The next time I apply for a job and if they're like, you need to take this, you know, you fill out the application, then it says, continue to the test. I'm going to call the manager like, look, I ain't taking that test. And they'll be like, oh, well, you have to. And I'll be like, no, it's discriminatory and I'm not taking that test. So call me for an interview now.
Yeah, I think we all should take a stand. You're right, OT, take the test. Like, fuck this thing. I'm not taking this shit again. Fuck it. Hell no. What you gonna do? I didn't sign anything that says I have to take a test. Call them. Bring me to the office. We need to
only
talk.
Only do that once you're inside, though.
Of course. Of course. Yes.
No. No. I would say
first, of course.
I would say let's take it further and just say I have the experience. I am able to demonstrate that I have the experience. Fuck your test. I'll see you on Monday. Bring me a desk.
Yes, that's how a CEO acts. You're hired. Come on in.
Bring me a desk.
No, but yes, I like
have
this.
My
this is how we get
ready
things
for
started.
Me on Monday.
This is how we get it started, guys. Yes, exactly. I don't think I've taken one of these tests like in a really long time. So, and if I ever have to, I'm gonna again say F this test. Oh, I did. I tried to get a job. I think at Lockheed Martin, you know, one of the aerospace engineer places. And I did take a personality test. I don't think they liked it. You're right. I was discriminated against. It's fine. They wanted an introvert and I was an extrovert. They're like, she's going to fuck shit up. Nah, we can't have her in here. They're like, not today. That's funny. But I'm glad that they did this documentary because I had no idea. I didn't know this was a thing. I didn't know this was a fight that, you know, people are fighting and that I feel like I'm picking up the torch and we're just letting you guys know that this shit is fucked up and there should be... It makes so much money, but I feel like if there's people who have the power to stop it or these companies or this HR, honestly, it's the human resources and this happiness department. They're the people that have this put into place. So
It is HR.
So human resources, y'all need to get your lives right. And these tests are discriminatory. You may not know this. Maybe they don't know that. Maybe you guys think you're getting the right employee or the right candidate.
Best and the brightest.
Yeah, you're not.
Again, it's not testing your intelligence. That's the thing. These tests don't test intelligence. They don't test your ability to interact with others. They don't test anything. They test your fucking feelings. That's it.
Yeah, fuck your feelings.
I feel like shit today. So yeah, I'm going to take this test and it might not show that I'm, you know, happy, but maybe I'm happy 350 days of the week instead of 365. I mean, of the year instead of 365. So those 15 days now I can't get a job because I took the test on the wrong fucking day.
Or you're down because you've been taking these tests for, you know, 6 months and it's not going anywhere. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's so many different factors that have come into play, but we can just keep singing this song over and over again. We're not going to do that. But we watched this documentary.
This is my song. It's my favorite song, and I will sing it whenever I choose.
Okay.
Louder, so, Brandy, louder.
So we watched this on HBO Max, and it's definitely, it's eye-opening, and it's just another fucking systematic bullshit that's going on that we need to make ourselves aware of and get past, I guess. Yeah, that's the bullshit. Anyway. What else we got? So let's go for the thumbs up for the week, guys. So KT and OT, you guys are a day ahead of us. So you've got the week coming towards you. I do apologize for telling you that, but do you have a thumbs up for the week?
My thumbs up would be to Hype Williams because I was recently introduced to Hype Williams because we watched Belly. I watched Belly for the first time. And it was a whole adventure watching Belly. So shout out to Hype Williams.
Oh, the 90s.
I was listening to y'all's episode. I used to watch the Hype Williams videos of like Hype Williams. And then it opened up and yeah. Nice.
Yeah, I was shocked that Katie didn't know Hype Williams because it was such a big battle. Early 2000s, late 90s.
All the music videos were produced by Hype, not produced, but yeah, produced and directed by Hype Williams. You know, they were amazing.
And my thumbs up will be to Corin Hardy. He's the director of Gangs of London.
Nice.
It's a show that we watched. We finished last week. Yeah. And it's one of the best things we've watched in a long time.
Yeah.
Nice. What is
it? It's on AMC in America.
Yeah.
The AMC app.
Oh, okay. I think I could download that on the Roku.
Yeah, do that. You will not regret it.
Okay. I love recommendations. Brandy, you got a thumbs up for the week?
Well, I'm going to give a thumbs up to Sam. I forgot what I was saying. Sorry. for Falcon and Bucky, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, because he has the shield and he's fucking going to use that bitch.
Spoilers. Spoiler alert.
How is it, by the way? I think we watched like the first episode and we didn't get back into it.
It's good. It's really good. Picking up. Like it's not a slow burn. Like it picks up after the first episode. The first episode is like the slowest one, but it gets really good. There's a lot of action. You know, some of the Wakandans come in, girl. It's good. It's good. You definitely need to pick it up. I don't know. What is it? Only 8 episodes this series? I think it might be only 8 episodes, and I think we're on episode 6, so maybe 2 more. It's good. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
Shout out to Black Twitter for calling people out because they thought that lady was a Koye and she obviously wasn't.
No, she wasn't.
No.
That was
apparently
Ale.
That woman. Yeah, but apparently she's also she was also in Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman. Apparently she was one of the Amazons.
Nice.
Okay.
Did you see this? No.
We haven't watched that episode of Winter Soldier yet. I just saw everyone getting flamed by Black Twitter because they thought it was Okoye.
Like, no, we don't all look alike. Knock it off.
We don't at all.
That's all right. You know, bald black women, we all look alike, right? Mm-hmm. I'm kidding. So my thumbs up for the week, guys. I had my gardening group today, and I came home with so many different plants. I've got tomatoes. I've got squash. I've got tomatillos. Brandy, I got you some chamomile. I got some okra. I got all kinds of plants. So I'm going to be in the garden planting all week long and just living my best life, hanging out in nature.
That's nice. Cool. We all love nature.
Yeah, it's nature, my therapy, for everyone. Garden therapy. Nature for everyone! Garden therapy. You guys really still need to grow something. I know, KT, you said you don't think you can grow anything in your living situation. Have you guys tried to garden yet?
We tried. I bought some okra and some bok choy, and they all got eaten up by some pests. We still don't know what happened.
It ate them when they were tiny little babies?
Yeah.
Do you guys have roly-polies?
Potato bugs.
Oh. See, this is how unlearned we are. And it's also I don't like bugs. I don't like failure, so I didn't help Oti, so I would take a lot of the blame for not helping.
Well, try it again. And honestly, bugs love delicious, fresh-grown the first sprout that comes out. It's like the most nutrient-dense, and the bugs are like, I'm going to get it. So what I do is I'll sprinkle eggshells. I use eggshells in the garden. I sprinkle them around my seedlings. So then when they try and crawl over to them and eat them, like slugs or roly-polies, it's like glass, but it's eggshells. So it's a natural way to keep those pests away and to keep your sproutlings alive.
Fuck them bugs.
Make sure you guys are following Sunny on Instagram, because she gives lots of nice Insta stories about her gardening. But you should already, because you're listening to Bolt Bitches.
You're listening to Bolt Bitches? Yeah, you are. Thanks. Thank you. Yeah, check us out. Where can everyone get a hold of you guys? Where can the listeners find you guys?
On a day-to-day, if you want to have a giggle gaggle, on Twitter and Instagram, we're at For Your F Pod.
Or you could write us an email at hello@fypodcast.com.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And you can find us lurking on Twitter at Book of Lies Pod, on Instagram or Facebook at Book of Lies Podcast, or you can visit our website, bookoflicepodcast.com. And thank you guys for being here with us. Thank you for listening. Thank you for everything. So subscribe and come on back. And I am Sunny Hepburn.
And I'm Brandy Fleeks.
I'm Katie, and I just want to say I recently read Life, Love, and Margaritas by Brandy, and you should all buy it and read it because it's great, and she's great, and Sunny's also great, and we love Bob.
Thanks! Write a review on Amazon.
I will.
Oh, that was great.
Oh, Pendoti!
And this was Book of Lies. The podcast.
Let's bolt, bitches.